Chapter 11. Owen. I watch from the bedroom window as the sun begins to crest the eastern horizon. Time to leave, I think to myself grimly, eyes burning from lack of sleep. Hells, I'm already looking forward to this trip being over. Behind me, Talon's pack rustles as he picks it up off the floor and slings it over his shoulder.
You ready to go?
He asks with a yawn. Nodding, I turn away from the window and move to pick up my own pack, my saddlebags bursting with supplies and my quiver full of arrows. Already fully dressed, we leave the inn's sleeping quarters and make our way downstairs, where breakfast of oats, butter, and fresh fruit awaits us. The food tastes like ash in my mouth, but I force it down anyway. I know that I'll need the strength as we journey to deliver ourselves into the hands of the Nightingales. Even thinking of Elias and his betrayal turns my stomach, making me feel hurt and angry and depressed all at the same time. Somehow I manage to push those thoughts from my mind, and instead focus on once again spending time with Zara. Thinking of her always seems to shine a light in the middle of my gloom. We quickly devour the food, then lead our horses from the stable so we can make our way to the meeting place just outside of the city walls. The city is barely waking at this early hour, a few shopkeepers sleepily opening their stalls and guards starting off on their morning patrols. Talon and I mostly ride in silence as we make our way to the northernmost gate, following the street signs posted at every intersection as we go. At least I'll soon be out of this city, I think to myself, eyeing a pair of scruffy men as they slink into a shadowed alley nearby. Too many people here crammed into one place. The fresh air and wide-open spaces will help clear my head. By the time we reach the northern gatehouse, the sun has already fully risen, bathing the city in a soft golden light. The enormous stone structure set into the outer wall of the city reminds me of a miniature mountain, with archers standing on the parapets like gargoyles carved from granite. We ride through the gatehouse's portcullis, the cobblestones beneath us giving way to hard-packed dirt. There, on the other side, we approach a large gathering of people, including soldiers, porters, and more than 24 horses outfitted for travel. Pulling up beside the group, we dismount and take our horses by the reins. Nearby, Zara steps out from the inside of a black lacquered carriage, her hair pulled back into a ponytail. She smiles as soon as she sees me, waving a white-gloved hand in greeting. I return the wave, and beside me Talon mutters something about lovebirds under his breath. I shoot him a look which only causes his stupid grin to widen, so I look away, choosing just to ignore him instead. A porter walks a horse over to Zara, handing her the reins before departing. She eyes the beast warily but continues toward me, towing the beast behind her and maintaining a respectful distance between them.
"Good morning, gentlemen,"
she says as servants unload her things from the carriage and begin securing them to the horse's saddle.
"Are the two of you ready for another adventure?"
"Thrilled,"
Talon mutters sarcastically, stifling another yawn. She ignores him and turns to me, where I can see worry already creasing the lines on her face. Too early for me to have a deep conversation, I glance around, looking at all the armed troops who are supposedly going to accompany us. "Is all of this necessary?" I ask, watching as a man in chainmail pulls himself up onto a massive warhorse. I doubt the Nightingales will be very accommodating to so many of the king's troops.
"It's just a precaution," Zara replies. "The roads aren't as safe as they used to be, and even with Elias in our group the rebels may choose to attack us on sight."
The mention of my former master causes me to stiffen, and I cast my eyes around the group, searching for any sign of him. Not yet here, I think to myself, only seeing soldiers and servants. I wonder if the king has had a change of heart. Just then I see it, a carriage rumbling toward us, flanked by 4 armored knights. It comes to a stop before the group, and one of the knights steps forward, pulling open the door. Elias, still looking disheveled, steps outside, wrists shackled, and face as hard and stoic as ever. The guard, with one hand on the hilt of his sword, pulls out a ring of keys and proceeds to unlock his restraints.
They release with a metallic clink and drop to the ground, allowing Elias to rub the tender skin beneath. Another one of the knights, a man with a flat face like a shovel, walks up to one of the mounted soldiers that is to accompany us and jabs a thumb toward Elias.
"He's all yours," he says, in a tone that indicates relief to be done with him.
The mounted soldier merely nods, his expression neutral. A porter nervously brings Elias a horse, handing him the reins before scampering away. He accepts them and reaches up to pet the animal, whispering soft words to it in a way I've seen him do 1,000 times before.
"You all right, mate?"
Talon asks behind me, his voice tinged with concern.
"You look like you just drank some sour ale."
Grunting, I look away from my former master, trying to wrestle with the troublesome emotions welling up inside of me. Oddly enough, Reloz, the knight who had escorted Talon and I to the city, appears, leading his own horse by the reins with a longsword strapped to his waist. He no longer wears a red uniform, but a polished breastplate over a glistening suit of chainmail.
"Apprentices," he says cordially, nodding to the two of us.
When his gaze lands on Zara, he bows his head in a sign of respect.
"Magus?"
"What are you doing here?" I ask, unable to keep some of the bitterness out of my voice.
"Why, going with all of you to Dunmar City, of course,"
he replies smoothly, reaching down to his belt and pulling on a pair of black leather gloves.
"This is an opportunity to make history. I wouldn't want to sit this out and let other men get all the glory."
"This is a war," Zara replies, judging by her expression she doesn't think too kindly of the pompous man. "Demons are on the verge of invading and people are dying. There's nothing glorious about it."
"And what do you know of war?"
He fixes her with a contemptuous look, but it vanishes almost instantly, replaced by a small, knowing smile.
"There's always glory to be had, little Magus, especially in times of war, if one only knows where to look for it."
With that, he turns on his heel and leads his horse away, joining with one of the groups of soldiers.
"We'll need to keep an eye on that one," Zara says after a moment, her eyes still studying Reloz.
Talon raises an eyebrow.
"You know him?" "Men like him," she replies. "They're everything that's wrong with this kingdom. Personal ambition comes before everything else, even at the expense of others' lives. Power and glory."
She shakes her head, a troubled expression on her face. An uneasy silence falls over us, each of us dwelling on our own thoughts. Before long, one of the soldiers mounts up and rides over to our position. He introduces himself as Gent and tells us that the time has come for us to depart. After a brief exchange, we mount our horses as well and join the group along with Elias, who seems completely at ease with his current situation. Even without his ranger cloak or any visible weapons, he moves like a skilled predator, eyeing those around him with a quiet confidence that makes him seem much more impressive than the soldiers in our group. Even now, I even find myself admiring him, a fact which causes me to curse under my breath. Eventually, we set off, a long train of horses riding away from Tarsus and into the rolling hills of the Heartlands. The air is cool, but not as cold as it has been lately, a light breeze ruffling my hair as I urge my horse forward, my eyes straight ahead. The farmland surrounding the City of Mages, once so vibrant and green, has begun to turn a dull yellow, indicating the changing of seasons. Once we get a good distance from the city walls, I even begin to spot farmers in their fields, gathering in the last of the harvest before the winter sets in. Within a few hours, the capital is nothing more than a dot on the horizon, the pillar of radiance like a silver needle, shooting a thin, shimmering beam into the sky behind us. I do my best to keep my horse as far away from Elias as possible. Fortunately, he mostly remains at the front of our caravan, directing the soldiers forward as we ride toward the distant Ironback Mountains. Ahead of me, Talon sits slouched in his saddle, periodically pulling out a short sword and twirling it about before returning it to its sheath. Zara rides beside me on the dirt road, pulling me into conversation every so often, and helping me to fend off my despair before it can set in. She chatters amiably, riding her horse with relative ease as we plod along. Looking over at her, I can't help but smile, remembering just how scared of riding she was when I first met her. Memories bloom in my mind, and for a moment I can see her struggling to get into the pack mule's saddle for the first time, indignantly telling me that she didn't need any help.
"What do you think about it, Owen?"
she asks, raising a questioning eyebrow at me. I silently berate myself, realizing that I hadn't been listening to what she was saying to me for the past few minutes.
"I'm sorry," I reply, cheeks flushing with embarrassment. "Can you repeat the question?"
She sighs, reaching up and brushing a stray hair from out of her face.
"I was asking, isn't it strange how the king has had such a change of heart? I mean, it seems that before he was bent on destroying the Nightingales, and now he wants to befriend them. It seems rather odd. I was curious what your thoughts were."
I take a moment to consider.
"People can change, I suppose, though I admit his request was a little unexpected. We went in there not quite knowing what to expect, just that we were to report to him on the R'hllar and the Harbinger attacks, but no mention was made of the Nightingales until he brought up his plan to negotiate peace."
"Exactly," Zara replies. "It almost makes me wonder if the king has ulterior motives."
"I don't know," I say a bit more cautiously. "We both saw him in person, and it didn't seem like he was being manipulated by some demon. I'm not sure it's our place to question the motives of the king."
"Some people have shadows in their hearts," she muses, seemingly oblivious to the treasonous sound of her words. "Not everything is some intricate demonic plot." We let the conversation drop for the time being, allowing the noise of the horse's hooves to fill the air. Although the wound I gained in the ashwood is almost completely healed, the jostling movement of the ride doesn't help the ache in my side. As we continue on, I find myself glancing forward to where Elias rides at the head of the column, his posture indicating that he's completely aware of his surroundings. After a time, I glance over at Zara to find that she is staring at me, an anxious look on her face.
"What?" I ask defensively.
"Nothing," she replies, quickly looking away. Not a minute passes, though, before she sighs and continues talking.
"I'm just worried about you, Owen, about this whole situation. I know Elias's return is causing you pain."
I look away from her, feeling suddenly guarded. This is not what I want to talk about right now.
"I'm fine, Zara," I reply, keeping my eyes on the road. "Honestly, let's just drop it, okay?"
"Are you certain?" she presses, her tone heavy with concern. "If you need to talk about it with someone, I'm here for you."
"I don't need to talk about it," I reply sharply, then take a deep breath to calm myself down.
"Look, I appreciate the concern, Zara, really I do, but this isn't something I really want to go into right now, okay?"
She nods and drops the subject, allowing silence to settle between us once again. The hours pass without much to see. The heartlands, unlike the forests of Tarsinium, are vast, flat expanses of nothing as far as the eye can see. Distantly I can make out the great mountains in the north, but between us and them there is only farmland. Something pricks my ears as we ride, a distant, high-pitched, screeching sound. I immediately look up to search for the source of the noise. Out of the corner of my eye, I notice Elias doing the same thing, though no one else in the group seems to be aware of anything out of the ordinary. Casting my eyes about, I only see rolling hills of yellowed grass. Yet even as I look, I hear it again, a chirping squeal that reminds me of the screeching of a bat. I look upward and spot something strange in the sky. Black, flapping shapes moving high above our heads. There are three of them, growing larger as they descend like buzzards circling a carcass. Pulling my horse to a stop, I squint, feeling the unease that usually comes with the sense that something is wrong. "What is it?" Zara asks, stopping beside me and following my gaze. "Do you hear something?"
I'm not sure, I mumble, hand straying down to my hatchet. She follows my gaze, and then her eyes go wide. The black shapes are getting close now, and from this distance I can see that they're huge.
Light preserve us, she rasps, yanking her talisman from her neck.
Everybody stop! Her shout prompts the others to look over their shoulders at us. Elias, apparently having already spotted the creatures, curses as he leaps from his horse, adopting a battle stance in the middle of the road, despite not having a weapon.
What are you on about? Rallos asks, in annoyance. We're still a long way from the next town.
Zara points upward as the creatures begin to swoop down. I can see them clearly now, like giant bats with glowing red eyes.
Black wings, she calls out, filling her hand with mage fire. We're under attack!